Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and in case you couldn't guess from those titles, I don't make a ton of money, but I do like to spoil people when I have money to spoil them with. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and porn maker, so similarly, don't make a ton of money. But like, when I think about the amount of money I would throw at beautiful people if I had a lot of it just for fun, like,
yep.
Yeah, it just feels so satisfying. So anyway, we're talking about findom and other just associated money-related kinks, because like findom brings a very visceral idea, I think, to mind, and I think our discussion is going to be a little broader than that. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this on the show before, like in the past, but folks were chatting about it in the Discord and it got me thinking and I thought it would be a fun topic to discuss again.
Well, also, I'm pretty sure that the last time we did an episode on this, we were like going through a pretty rough patch in our friendship where like, and you could tell in the episode, like I remember that one being kind of uncomfortable and I was like, it's kind of a bummer because like it's an interesting topic, but we were just like, I don't know, we were not feeling our Dildorks magic at that point in time. So I am excited to revisit it, especially now that I have like a fair bit more experience doing financial domination type stuff.
Right. I thought it would be really interesting to talk to you about it. So frankly, I cheated a little bit. A lot of the questions for this episode are from the Discord where folks were chatting about this. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them were really fantastic, and I peppered a few of my own in there. But to start, I guess, like, at its basics, let's talk about what do folks – like, what is hot and appealing about findom and playing with money in general from both sides of the slash?
Yeah, I think that in our culture in general, there is a lot of – connections being made between money and power. And so I think that to the extent that you're turned on by power, whether that be having it or someone else having it over you, like there can definitely be a lot of crossover there with money. For myself, I also know that there is something concrete about money that allows me to understand when someone is spending money on me that they really do find me attractive or they really do care about me or something like that. Because it's just, I mean, unless you're like Jeff Bezos, like you're not going to be like throwing around cash on people you don't even care about. But now that I'm thinking about it, Bezos definitely doesn't do that either because he's a piece of shit. But you know what I mean? Where it's like, if you have like a relatively normal person amount of money, you fall into like a relatively normal non-Bezos range, you're not going to be spending money willy-nilly on people unless you like actually want to do that for whatever reason. So I think it can be really validating for me in that way. And then also it ties into some like daddy dom little girl stuff for me, like stuff around being spoiled, probably comes from like Veruca Salt type imagery. And it also ties in really nicely with a lot of like fashion related kinks for me, like shoes, leather, anything like that, that somebody could buy for me or that I could like quote unquote force somebody to buy for me. And then do fun stuff with those items, like trampling somebody with very expensive shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I feel like there is a lot, obviously a lot of power just in money in general and in the power of like giving it to people. Like there's just a lot of power dynamics just infused into that. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel powerful and capable and like badass, I guess. And a lot of the things that I feel good about in toppiness when I am able to like dote upon someone and just throw money at them and just, oh, you want it? Well, you're going to have it because of me. You're going to have this thing that makes you smile that you mentioned wanting in passing, right?
Yeah.
It feels really like powerful and good to be able to offer that to someone and also to receive that, like to see someone spending, yeah, exactly, like their money. There is something very tangible and quantifiable about like spending their actual money on me. And it's definitely a thing I feel even just in people like buying my porn or tipping me well or that sort of thing. The flavor of sex work I do is not financial domination, and I definitely get like financial kink feelings around people paying money to see me naked or paying money to see me fuck or paying money to sext me. Like, right. It's like, it is not that they don't feel valuable when someone chooses to spend that time with me, like someone mm-hmm. that I am into. But the idea of someone, especially someone, frankly, who doesn't even know me, spending something that quantifiable on spending time with me feels like, I don't know, a little fancy. It feels like there's just an extra sparkle to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's tricky because, like, especially in relationships, because it's not as if you can say, like, oh, this person loves me $800 worth of love. Like,
right.
There's not like a 1-to-1 ratio, obviously. And it has a lot to do with, like, how much does the person have in general to spare? But like many things in kink, it can be fun to sort of eroticize the taboo of that. And we do have a lot of taboos around, like, trying to quantify love and affection in a monetary way.
And we have taboos around money, around explicitly mm-hmm. talking about money, around asking for money or asking yep. for things or demanding them, certainly, mm-hmm. Which kind of brings us into something this one of the people in the Discord mentioned, is that they notice a lot of the findom that they see represented, at least in the world, and frankly, probably on Twitter, although they didn't say that, seems to be between, like, professional findoms and finsubs, or like pay pigs who don't mm-hmm. know each other outside of this play relationship, right? It's a professional dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I added in here that a lot of those professional dynamics I see tend to have this air of, like, loathing, and it tends to be combined with, like, ignoring and, like, all the fuck you pay me, like, mm-hmm. the number of new baby pro doms sticking their finger, like, middle finger to the camera all the time, like, that I saw, especially early pandemic.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if that, in your experience, is reflective of the community at large. Like, is that what findom looks like?
Yeah, that's interesting. My main place that I've sort of encountered this type of findom is when I was doing social media for a big clip site. And so I was writing, like, dozens of tweets a day promoting their most popular stuff. And a lot of it was findom stuff. Like, a lot of it was even stuff that goes, I think, a little bit farther than just findom and is what they call ripoff stuff, which is like where you are paying a large amount of money usually, but not really getting much of anything for it. Like, and that might be explicitly the deal. It might be like this download that I have available for you for, like, you know, $100 is like just a zip file containing maybe a JPEG that just says, like, you got tricked, sucker, like something like that.
Right. Or like a video file that the whole middle is cut out or that it's censored. So, like, right. It's porn, but it's got blurs on it and shit. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's all part of, like, humiliation. And I also, I mean, maybe this is getting a bit deep and philosophical for so close to the beginning of the episode, but I do wonder how much of it is related to, like, white cishet man guilt. Mm-hmm. Because in my experience, that demographic is, like, probably overrepresented in terms of people who like to be pay pigs. And I wonder, like, is there some part of that that's fueled by an underlying feeling of guilt or undeservingness about the money they make and the pay gap? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I can absolutely see, like, I don't know. Shit, I have never made a ton of money in my life. And there have been times in my life where I've looked at the money I've had and looked at the people around me and been like, how could I be doing better with this? Mm-hmm. And felt guilty, even knowing that I was barely paying my bills.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think that human impulse doesn't exist in cis men. Like, I don't think I'm unique in that. So I could definitely see a way of eroticizing that. Because, like, I don't know, maybe I'm getting conspiracy theory here or whatever, but like, there are very few outlets for feelings that we let men have, and sex and anger are pretty much the two of them.
Right.
So, like, if they are feeling, you know, guilty or complicated ways about having this money, and like, you can buy a ripoff video and also, no, I'm spending the money on, like, getting off. And, like, yeah, this ripoff thing gets me off. But, like, they're still spending the money on sex and porn, which feels like a very inherently masculine affirming thing, right? Even if they are getting humiliated and stuff, because like the reason I'm winding up here is because it's like, okay, well, yes, maybe this is fueled by guilt, but why are we not sending it to places like, not that I'm saying don't send your money to sex workers, but like, if you were like, I need to get rid of this money out of guilt, you send it to a charity, you send it to something. Right. So like, I can see how it gets funneled into like, well, we're not going to address that guilt feeling. So apparently this is, I'm horny about this. This isn't guilt. I'm horny about it. Mm-hmm. Which I think is the path many things happen in masculinity in our society.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely very interesting on an economic level, given that sex workers do face a lot of economic hardship and instability. Mm-hmm. And many times as a sex worker doing FinDom work, I imagine you have to kind of like push those feelings and that knowledge to the side and emphasize, you know, your strength. And like, I've talked to pro doms who are like, I say that it's just for like, expenses like pedicures and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then of course, you know, I'm actually using it on my rent and whatnot. But
right.
There's something about if you advertise that it's for your like basic expenses, maybe you don't feel as powerful doing it. And then also maybe it doesn't land quite the same for the people giving you money because maybe they mm-hmm. want it to be spent on those more frivolous things.
There is definitely, I have seen in many of the folks that I know of doing this like quite successfully, like this is their thing, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it comes with creating a persona or image of a lavish lifestyle that yep. the people who are sending the money are helping to fund. Mm-hmm. You are allowing me to live in luxury. You are allowing me to not work at all. You are allowing me to wear like expensive clothes. Like I've seen folks talk about having to spend a bunch of money on shoes and clothes to look like they can make yeah. the amount of money that they need to be making in sex work. Right.
Yeah. Capitalism I've seen is folks, a nightmare.
Yeah. I've seen folks talk about, I've also seen folks talk about having like closets full of expensive shoes and not being able to make rent because those are the yeah. gifts people send them and things.
Right.
But yeah, I think there is definitely, particularly in the professional realm, very much a culture of wanting to allow these folks to live these really, really lavish, like gorgeous women generally, let's be honest, living mm-hmm. gorgeous, lavish lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like, I want to come back to like, is that what all FinDom looks like? Is it all about like these interactions between sex workers or can it happen like within casual play or within intimate relationships and that sort of thing as well?
Yeah, it definitely can. And that's been my main experience of it. And mm-hmm. I think that that's pretty uncommon. Like, I think the vast, vast majority of FinDom that's happening is like in a transactional space, which makes sense because it's mm-hmm. a transactional kink in many ways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had a sugar daddy for a little while, which was like one of my first forays into this type of play. And I remember being really surprised by how good that made me feel, like both sexually and emotionally. Like, mm-hmm. I really was not expecting that. I was like, you know, it's going to be great to have another flow of income. And I don't mind talking to this dude. He's, mm-hmm. you know, relatively charming. So whatever, it'll be fun, I guess. But then it really was like, I felt so good about myself. I felt so good about being able to take myself out for nice dinners mm-hmm. On his dime or being able to afford cute things that I wanted to wear. I felt very powerful, very desirable and desired. Mm-hmm. And I just really felt very differently about myself. And then I've also done a fair amount of financial kink stuff with my spouse, who makes a great deal more money than me. Mm-hmm. It's not something I'd probably do with somebody if that wasn't the case. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want people to be actually like financially struggling in order to do kink stuff with me. But like my spouse and I have done fun scenes where like, we've gone out shopping together and maybe I take on kind of like a bratty little girl role and I'm just like walking around the lingerie store being like, I want to try this one on, daddy. And And they're just sort of there, like, carrying my bag, holding the credit card. Mm-hmm. That's very fun for me and, like, really plays into our roles. And it's been cool seeing how it can work from either side of the slash for us because, mm-hmm. like, often it is when I'm more dominant because then I can boss them into buying me things that I want. But mm-hmm. also it can be a thing where, like, they're being the dominant who's, like, taking care of me and spoiling me by doing these things. I think, like, mm-hmm. like we usually say about kinks, like, there's no inherent power dynamic, or at least there doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I have definitely felt really drawn to this from the perspective of, like, a dominant doting upon their submissive and just, like, mm-hmm. throwing a bunch of, like, lavishing them with gifts and that sort of thing. And maybe it's a spoiled submissive or not, but they get whatever they want, and daddy can give them anything they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's definitely fun to, like, turn that on its end. Yeah, I think we're coming up, like, against a couple distinctions here that I want to make. Because, yeah, I don't think that findom exclusively exists in transactional professional relationships, although I think you're right, it does overwhelmingly exist there because of its transactional tendency. Mm-hmm. And I think so I think it can be done transactionally or in sex work situations or in relationships. I think it can also be done casually as well as in committed relationships. Mm-hmm. I don't think those are separate from relationships with sex workers. And that's kind of what I'm grappling with articulating here, because mm-hmm. like, I think I could have a casual scene with someone in a sex work situation. I could have a casual scene with someone I meet at a dungeon, right? That mm-hmm. is around this findom idea. Right. But I could also have intimate connective scenes with a partner or with someone who I have done this with professionally for a long time. Because mm-hmm. I know folks who are in, like, professional long-term findom relationships where they have many sessions and they've been working together for years even. Mm-hmm. And it feels... like, it is almost as committed a relationship, if not as committed a relationship as their other partnerships, right? And I don't want to speak for sex workers who I am not, but that this is my understanding about the ways that they have talked about their dynamics to me. Mm-hmm. So I think the bigger distinction is within whether we're doing pickup play and a more committed thing than mm-hmm. whether it is a professional relationship or not.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like this, like, humiliation based, I deserve this money more than you, fuck you, give me this money, is, like, the only way professional findom looks. Mm-hmm. Like, I have also seen relationships that are very caring and intimate. Like, findom can be played with in ways that, like, we talked about, that are just doting upon. Like, I'm giving you all of this because you're a sweet little thing who deserves nice things. Mm-hmm. I have seen it done in forms of worship, right? As tribute, almost, as mm-hmm. part of spiritual and religious practices, which I always find really, like, beautiful when that is structured into folks' relationships. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, like, there are a lot of different ways it can show up. And I think it actually, like, I don't know, I think the line between professional and not is not as distinct here than in some other places and what it might look like.
Yeah, well, I mean, it raises the question of, like, when I tell my spouse, buy me this thing because I want it and because it'll turn us both on for you to buy me it. Like, is that philosophically, technically a sex work interaction? I don't know. I think it's more about mm-hmm. kind of like the container you've created and the agreements that you have and, you know, how mm-hmm. you both feel about it. And I think that the way that we see it is sort of like a thing within a thing. Like, it's like a role play almost. Like, I don't think that we're seeing it as, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very yeah. hard distinction to make, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think, so for me, I think, like, the big distinction between a casual relationship and something that is more ongoing, mm-hmm. Is, or at least the biggest distinction that comes to mind for me, particularly, I guess, as a dominant, is the level of responsibility I feel to their finances.
Yeah.
I feel like in a casual scenario, I am trusting them to show up for their financial decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And in a more long-term scenario, I am taking on more responsibility, and that may look like, do I have access to your bank account? Am I deciding how much money you can give me? Like, obviously that is very intense end of the spectrum, total power exchange kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, if I am in a longer term, you are going to regularly be giving me money kind of situation. Mm-hmm. I feel like I am taking on a lot more weight of what is the financial impact this relationship is having on you.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I feel less responsible in a one-off pickup play scenario, because frankly, we're probably dealing with less money, and you were probably somewhat less emotionally invested in this power dynamic that we've created, because it's existed for, I don't know, 3 hours or whatever.
Right.
And like, I trust someone to know how much money they can spend on a night out. Like, I can go out and be like, oh, I've got $100 on me tonight to spend for whatever. And if someone comes to like a play event and is like, oh, I'll do a FinDom thing and my budget's $100, I trust you to make that decision. I don't need to. Fine. You know?
Yeah.
But like, that feels different if it's like, this is my partner and a portion of our relationship is they give me money.
Yeah, I think this is why I prefer to do it with people who I kind of know. Because I just like, one of my fears around this is like, if I was to do, say, like a one off sex work interaction with someone who gave me, you know, $500 or whatever. How do I know that this person isn't going to then like regret giving me that or even ask for it back or, as you said, like be in trouble financially? Whereas like with someone who I know, whether it's like my spouse or like the sugar daddy I used to have, like I know those people well enough to trust that they are standing up for their own financial boundaries and that they wouldn't volunteer to give this amount of money if it wasn't something that they felt able to do. Like my spouse even like budgets, I think a monthly FinDom budget. So like I know that I don't really have to stress about it. And I also know from just doing other stuff with them that if we come up against anything that they actually don't want to do, that they will say that.
Right. And like, I don't know, at the end of the day, like, yes, it is particularly hard to say like, oh, I can't afford this, especially in a dynamic like this. So I recognize why, like, you want to be doing it with like folks that you especially trust. But like, I don't know. I like the way you mentioned that they budget it, because for me, I'm like, yes, this is an entertainment budget. Like I put aside money to like, I don't know, a night at a strip club might cost me X amount of money, but I'm like, no, I'm spending that money to have a night out with my friends. I would spend that money to go, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think about it the way, like, when my parents go to a casino, they're like, no, I'm not going to win. I'm going to spend $100, and I might come home with more or less than that.
Right.
But no, this is how much I'm spending a night out, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to bring us back. One of the things you mentioned is particularly enjoying getting like clothes and shoes and fashion items and then using them in scenes. And that like really resonated with me, because I like how I feel like it infuses generic items with a little bit of like potent magic. Like I have a pair of leather boots that I'm like, oh, I got these by sexting about like having really horrible things happen to me, and now I own leather boots out of it. Like,
yeah,
it was like, that's fun and hot to me to be like, oh, they have this cute little story attached. I'm curious, but I thought it would be fun to like think about, if money were truly no object, what kinds of things would you find hottest to have paid for in like this FinDom kind of dynamic? Because like, I don't know, if money is no object, there's a lot of things I'd like to own, but some of them feel like particularly potent in a sexual scenario. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what's coming to mind for me is like, I really like the intersection of FinDom with cuckolding a little bit.
Okay.
That's like an interesting idea for me, is like, someone buying something for me that I look so hot in that then other people are going to be giving me sexual attention, and then maybe I'm kind of like flaunting that.
That's really fun.
Yeah, I did like a tiny bit of this with my spouse. Like, I've done things before where like they bought me a set of fancy lingerie and we negotiated that it would be hot if I, like, when the lingerie arrived, like took a bunch of photos and then like sent them to everybody else who wanted to see them before my spouse got to see them. So I think I showed them to, or I sold them to maybe a couple of people and then maybe showed some to you or something. But that was kind of fun because there was like some denial stuff going on. So I think like lingerie, sexy shoes, leather stuff, like just stuff that makes me look and feel really hot, would be good for that. And like fancy makeup too, like stuff that I would never buy for myself because it's ridiculously overpriced. What about you?
I love that. I love that you're listing off things that you're like, more things to make me more gorgeous, please. Thank you. I just beautify me and my person. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like, to take that to an even farther extent, like, I don't want plastic surgery or anything like that, I don't think. But if I did, like, I think the sort of maximal place that could go to would be, like, buying me a boob job or something like that. Like, you know, like, really paying for me to get hot, like super hot. I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think that this fantasy maybe comes from this sex worker I used to follow who would like live tweet about like all the men who were paying for her like Botox injections and nose jobs and stuff. And I was just like, wow, there's something in that for me that is like doing something for me. It's like there's kind of like a bimboification thing going on. And
I was thinking that.
Yeah, there's like a lot of tangled kinks in there.
There's a lot of fun stuff around like, I don't know, just improving your appearance for my pleasure too, right? Like, I am funding you looking this particular way because it will bring me joy when you look that way. Like, that's quite fun.
Yep.
That's so fascinating. So some of the stuff I was thinking about, like, even just getting ready for this episode, is, like, primarily, I think, experiences – like things I wouldn't have access to go do. Like, I love the idea of like going out to a show or going on a vacation somewhere or something, either with someone or just being sent there. But like getting to experience a thing I normally wouldn't get to do and spending that whole time, like I'm thinking back when I first got, when I had my first job that I got vacation time at, and I was like in Disney World being like, I'm getting paid 8 hours today to be in Disney World.
Yeah.
Like that feeling would be really cool. And similarly, like paying for me to learn shit.
Right.
Like paying for me to go to a class I couldn't get access to, or like a certification program, paying for me to get skills that I will then use on you, like kink things. That's fucking hot.
Yeah, that's good. That's making me think about how like sometimes for me the hot thing is not necessarily the amount, but like the freedom of spending. Mm-hmm. Like my partner recently sent me to a steakhouse to have a meal by myself. Which was very nice. And I think they just basically were like, get whatever you want and I'll, you know, PayPal you whatever the total was at the end. And I was thinking about how like that felt so much better to me than if they were just like, I'm going to send you like, you know, a rough estimate of how much money it's going to cost, like $150 or whatever. Like even if it ended up being the same amount, it's still hotter to just be like, get whatever you want, because then, I mean, that to me feels like true luxury, truly being spoiled. And, like, of course, it's my partner, so I'm not going to order the, like, $900 bottle of champagne or anything. But, you know, it's just a different feeling. And so much of this is about the feelings that it can give you.
Yeah, there's just something particularly potent about not having to consider money, just full stop.
Ooh, like, I know, especially when you have lived a life where you had to consider it, like, every day, you know?
Right. When you're just like, when it's just like, oh no, this is just paid for. I can just do this.
Yep. So but relaxing. I think I probably said this the last time we talked about this, but I really think that a huge piece of why FinDom is hot for me is that sort of like relaxation, like not needing to stress. And it does remind me of Emily Nagoski's concept of the sexual breaks versus sexual accelerator, where like it may not you know, directly arouse me in the way that your sexual accelerator does, the way that like watching porn or reading erotica does, but it alleviates the anxiety of money stuff for a bit so that I can get turned on more easily, which is just really useful stuff.
And there are absolutely folks who are turned on by the money aspect. Like I definitely have experienced that on occasion. And I'm thinking about, throughout this whole conversation, I'm thinking about one of my favorite findoms on Twitter, Mistress Blunt, who does what I find cool. So like, we're talking a lot about like gifting you money because I want to like dote upon you or buying presents or that sort of thing. But what I find really fun about following Mistress Blunt is the way she talks about, she just like, okay, so the fun thing about money is it's also just numbers, and you can play games with numbers however you want.
True.
So she's tweeted a lot about having a relationship. I think it's one of her submissives, I'm not positive, that anytime this person edges to one of her videos or watches one of her videos, has to send the cost of the video, which is cute. But the second time they do it, they send double the cost. And the third time they send triple. And the fourth time they send. And they have, I have seen some screenshots of some high numbers of like the title of the video times 33. I really like this one. Sorry.
Like, that's so great. I love that.
And I just, I love the like creativity that goes into that of just the like, and it's just. Like, yes, money has all of these power, like all of this power and everything, but there's also just something so satisfying about watching that number exponentially grow. Like, I don't know. It's just good. It's
good shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about like what is fun about not worrying about money. But like, let's be honest, we are both people who have worried about money, and I think many of our listeners probably are too. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts on ways for low-income and poor folks to engage in playing with like financial domination type stuff, with a partner or a sex worker, without actually having a ton of money to play with.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think like probably the sort of most obvious solution here is just to do it as a role play. Like maybe you're literally using Monopoly money. Like I do think you can do that depending on what it is that you're seeking to get out of it. And you can pretend it to a significant extent where it might start to feel pretty real. Actually, now that I think about it, hypnosis would probably combine really well with that because then maybe it would feel like real cash to you. Another thing that somebody had, I had one partner at one point who like would receive presents and hand-me-downs from wealthier relatives. And she would just like give me some of that stuff sometimes, like nice cashmere sweaters and stuff. I know that not everybody is in that situation. I was also thinking about how it could be cool to like, If you're into thrifting, like you can always like pick through and find good vintage items and then maybe even like rehab them a little bit, like leather cleaner or, you know, tailoring or whatever, if you have any of those skills, and make them seem really nice and fancy and like, you know, gorgeous high quality gifts, because there is a lot of high quality stuff in thrift stores and vintage shops.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's all I got. What came to mind for you about this?
I would, well, the first thing I'm going to come back to is the budgeting thing we talked about. Even if you can put aside $5 a month and every 3 months you do, you know, you do a little thing or something, right? It doesn't have to be about a ton of money. If you have been saving that money for a long time and excitedly looking at it, it's going to feel like a ton of money to you. And that can feel okay. Like, even if you have a big jar somewhere that you throw your change in, and when it gets filled up, it becomes our like findom scene or something, right?
Right.
You can play with like what little bits you have here and there, if that is the thing that you have access to. I also think if you are going to play with like a Monopoly money or role play type scenario, money is only powerful because collectively as humans, we imagine that these papers mean things and hold value. And we all have the same we all have the same belief that these money holds value. So it holds value. If tomorrow everyone forgot money existed, this paper would be meaningless, right?
Yeah. I'm just laughing because this is fundamentally an anti-capitalist podcast and that just becomes clearer every episode.
It's true. But you can collectively in your relationship imagine that that monopoly money holds value. And maybe that is not value when you go to the grocery store and can use it to get a pint of ice cream. But I don't know. Maybe I can use it to buy back rubs from you. Maybe I can use it to not empty the dishwasher next week. Right? Maybe this money holds currency in our relationship and we're exchanging things that are valuable to us that you're gonna have to watch a stupid sci-fi movie with me because that costs 10 Monopoly dollars and I have them now, right? Yeah. Whatever that is, I would, if you can find a way to give weight and give meaning and create a currency that y'all are gonna trade within the game that you're playing, it could feel a little more potent, right?
Yeah, that's a really good way of thinking about it. I will say, for stuff involving sex and, barters or deals of any kind, I, really negotiate very carefully, what the bounds of those are. I just read this thread on the sex subreddit the other day where this guy's girlfriend, wanted to do something. And she was like, I'll do anything if you let me do this thing. And he was like, okay. And then he, sort of held onto that IOU. And he was asking the forum whether if by I'll do anything, she was including in that he could ask her to wax her genitals for him. And I was like, I mean, we don't know. We don't know if she's okay with that. That's the kind of thing that you have to talk about beforehand, because otherwise you're going to get into stuff that, can cause a lot of resentment and confusion. And I just think that the boundaries need to be very clear. So what you're describing, something where it's very clear, this much for this particular act, I think laying that out in advance will be helpful for this.
Right. Or even if you just create a menu together of things that you're this is a thing you particularly love. And I wouldn't put stuff on it that's I love this and you hate it and you're going to have a miserable time. No, it's I love it and you would rather watch a rom-com instead of a sci-fi movie, but sorry, you're going to hear my nerdy opinions and we're going to spend all night talking about how you're doing this because you have to, because I bought it or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I really agree that we talk about negotiations so often, but I think this is particularly one that there can be. So sex and kink are things people have a lot of pride around, and money are things that people have a lot of pride around and difficulty talking about. I think it's particularly important to kind of get into the weeds when we're negotiating this sort of thing and talking about it with our partner before we play. And I'm curious if there are any other important things that you think about considering when you're negotiating this.
Yeah, it's good to discuss where you're both coming from with regards to money, if this is not something that you've talked about before. And that means for me, not only your current financial situation, but also how you grew up around money, because that really influences how you continue to think about it. What beliefs did you internalize about money? I think that the financial person Susie Orman does a lot of stuff about internalized beliefs around money, which is interesting. I also think it's useful in all kinks, but in this one particularly, to have a stoplight safe word system. This is something that me and my partner use all the time. It's just one person will say, what color are you right now, and then the other person will say either green, yellow, or red. And Verfindom is cute because green means go and it also means money. But it's just a way of checking to see, almost like a timeout mid-scene to be this is still okay though, right? But it's really quick and doesn't usually take me out of the moment too much. And I am a really nervous Findom. I get stressed about asking people to spend too much money. So that's really useful for me to be able to check on that. without necessarily like breaking role.
I think the budget we were talking about can really come in handy there too. Even if like the person gets X amount of cash out and that much is in their wallet and that is how much they're spending that day. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because then you can even, you have the fun of like grabbing their wallet out of their hand and looking through the cash and being like, yeah, you're going to buy me this or whatever. Right. Like it can feel very tactile. I mean, the swipe of a credit card can be satisfying too, but like, that's a good way, I think, to make explicit how much money is being used and how far into the money we have gotten, if we're talking about like an afternoon out or something, without having to like verbally explicitly be like, how much money do you have left for me personally? Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have both of you have some sense of the ballpark of money that you're thinking about spending. I remember asking Matt to specify like a range when we were shopping for lingerie one time, because not only did I not want to go over the maximum, but I also wanted to like be in the zone where like it felt like a significant amount of money to be spending. Like I didn't want to like go too low either out of guilt or whatever. So we agreed on kind of like a ballpark range.
That is a thing that I have found fascinating in certain flavors of findom, where like there is a flavor of findom that finds it particularly hot if it hurts, if it is like actually having a substantial impact on your income, that it is actually like may cause a problem, which I also find fascinating because it's very much not the way that I've played, but I know there are definitely like there is an eroticization of like, no, it needs to be enough money that I feel it rather than just like something like really affordable. Like I never think of like not spending enough as not be mattering, but I have definitely seen that it can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only thing I would add is, I mean, something we talk about all the time, but like, how do you want to feel and what do you want to get out of this? Is this about, like I was talking about, some people really want it to hurt, want it to be about humiliation, want to feel jeopardized, right? Like, I mean, frankly, there are times where I like being hit or held down in a way that is like a little bit scary. And for a moment, oh God, am I going to be okay? And I think there are definitely like folks who get that out of money feelings. Out of, oh God, that's a lot of money. Ugh. Like, I've had that feeling spending money on things I need to, and I can imagine eroticizing that if it wasn't going to, like, genuinely put my safety in peril.
Yeah.
But, like, is it about being humiliated or, like, having your money taken or, you know, being, like, ripped off or whatever? Is it about doting upon someone? Is it about feeling particularly powerful and able to, like, lavishly offer you gifts? Is it you deserve this more than me? This money is more valuable in your hands than mine, out of, like, worship and tribute and that sort of thing? Like, what do you want to feel while you're doing this? Which, like, again, not a unique question to Dildorks listeners, but always important.
Yeah, I think money can also function as a way to raise the stakes on other kinks. Like, I think when my partner and I were doing Locktober one year, we had a rule where, like, if they came accidentally without permission, which is definitely a thing that happens when you've been locked up for weeks, that they would have to either send me $100 or like spend $100 that they weren't otherwise going to spend on me. Which is great because it makes the, you know, it just makes the stakes feel higher. It makes it feel more important that you follow the rules that you've laid out. And that was an amount where like they felt comfy with it. I felt comfy with it. Like that was just, that felt like a good zone for us.
And there is just something, it brings a little bit of the real world into what you're doing, a little bit of like practical, measurable impact, which like kink is often make-believe and exists in our heads, and often that is what's beautiful about it. Like, I've talked a lot about how I love getting to work really hard or think really hard or act like be really creative about a thing that ultimately does not matter. But I mm-hmm. think when we loop money into this, it takes like a little bit of these real world stakes and applies them to this game of make-believe. In the same way I could, I don't know, gamble on a game of Ticket to Ride or something, right? Like it's, mm-hmm. it's make-believe, but you can add these real stakes and it just feels a little bit more potent. And I think Findom can do that.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Dildorks. I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a book out called 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do. I don't think that there's money stuff like all that explicitly in that. I kind of wanted to put that in there, but I was like, I don't know. The vanillas might be a little put off by that. But you can find that at 101kinkythings.com. My second book is also launching soon. Very soon. You can pre-order it wherever you get your books. It's called 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing and information about my workshops at BexTalkSex.com. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. I'm also extremely naked on the internet as Billy Lore. So if you go to at Billy Lore on Twitter and Instagram, you can find all my links there. You can also go to BillyLore.com. Together, we are the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. If you would like to throw money at us for being really clever and help us live these lavish lives that we do, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks and dote upon us, or just give your money to us because we deserve it, whichever flavor sounds fun to you. At $6 a month, you will get access to our Discord where we talk about pervy shit like this. And at $12 a month, you will get access to our exclusive bonus episodes where I am increasingly rambling about random things that I find fascinating, including movie recommendations. But here we are. You'll probably enjoy it.
Yes, I wanted to say thank you to our top tier Patreon supporters who we thank every week on this show, except I'm pretty sure that we forgot to do it for the hypotheticals episode last week, but that was because we were extremely high and I'm very sorry.
Yeah, we loved you then too.
Yeah, we loved you then. We love you now. Thank you so much to Amelia, MB, Argo, Nat, Stabitha Christie, Tiffany, and Suki. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. His music is at protodome.bandcamp.com. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Yeah, so today I'm working on an article for Mel that's about like extended pleasure condoms, like condoms that either are like really thick or have like a desensitizing product on them that like lidocaine or benzocaine or some shit like that. Me? I'm just like, I know that these need to exist and I know that there are people who like them and rely on them, but I'm just like really thinking about how fucked up it is that we centralize PIV so much and then also are like, but you shouldn't be able to feel anything during it. Like,
right. Yeah, I don't any... It is always odd to me, any sex product that is designed to make things feel less good. Like, mm-hmm. I don't... It's just, it's a weird message to send men that... Because it's not just in that product is the thing.
Yeah.
And that it's like, if sex feels too good, you are failing the other partner.
Yeah.
Like, that's the narrative I'm getting, which is... odd. And we tell women not to enjoy sex for entirely different reasons. So I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like, why are we even doing that in the first place? Because most of these women are not even getting off from that. Like, have you actually spoken to your partner right. and have they actually told you they want you to last longer? Because, like, I don't know.
I mean, maybe, because, like, frankly, I think there are a lot of other people who, like, think the solution is, I guess you gotta last longer. And not,
yeah, I'm not coming and nothing's happening yet. I guess we have to do this for longer. Yeah.
Right, I mean, because that's the story you get, right? Like, I'm thinking about the person who came up to me in Babeland and was like, I need to learn to take bigger dicks so I can come. And I was like, okay, let's unpack that. And after several layers of unpacking, we got to, like, I was like, okay, well, let's talk about clitoral pleasure. And they're like, well, no, I've had clitoral orgasms. I mean, like, real orgasms. And I'm like, okay, there's just, that's so like, yikes. I wouldn't be surprised if there are folks out there being like, clearly this doesn't feel good because you're not doing it hard enough, long enough without thinking of other alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so much discourse about it, but it's just like,
right.
I don't know. It's supposed to feel good, y'all. Like, I don't know. Right. It's kind of depressing.
We should both be having fun, not trying to live up to some fake expectation that we think the other person has of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's record a podcast.
Okay.
Shit, I have questions. It's me.
Yeah. This is kind of a non sequitur, but it just reminded me. Oh, no. Did I instantly forget what I was going to say while I was setting it up? Yep.
That's all right.
Brain is broken. Been writing about numbing condoms too much today. That reminds me, I'm going to write down that I need to edit that bonus episode before the end of the month. That is important. I am like so tired doing 5 articles a week. I don't even understand how
much longer do you have doing that?
This is week 2 of 4, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're making it work.
Got this.
Yeah. I'm so tired.